I love that old song there by George Duffield, or Duffield. I'm not sure exactly how you pronounce it, but he's a good Baptist songwriter, amen, of history, and that's a blessing. Stand up for Jesus, stand in His strength alone. The arm of flesh will fail you. You dare not trust your own. If you will, look in your scriptures at two places, Luke chapter 11 and Philippians chapter 4. Luke chapter 11 and Philippians chapter 4. Appreciate the liberty thus far in the service. Pray that God would help us tonight in the message and help us in this time of worship to truly glorify His name and please Him in these moments. Amen. That we'll receive from the Word of God, from the Spirit of God, the things that we need. Amen. Luke chapter 11, verse 1 is where I'm taking my text in all these sermons that I'm preaching on the radio concerning prayer. And this, we call it Prayer Secrets. I got the idea from a book that was written in 1940 by a man by the name of Guy King. And he had 26 prayer secrets. And I've preached a few of them. I'll mention those in a moment that I've preached here from the pulpit and many more on the radio. But I felt like it'd be right and good. By the way, with a lot of the things we're facing as a church, I'm amazed, to be honest with you, when I think about it, at the different people, different problems, different circumstances, different things that so many different ones are facing. If there's ever a time we need to be holding one another up in prayer, it's right now. Amen. And of course, we've got the elections coming up. I'm telling you, if our nation ever needed prayer, it's right now. Amen. And we don't even know what's coming up as far as troubles and problems and things. We're coming up anniversary of 9/11 could be another. Who knows? Or something even worse than that that could happen. I'm just simply saying, if there's ever a time we needed to learn some secrets of prayer and put them into practice, it's now. Amen. Luke chapter 11, verse number 1, the Bible said, "And it came to pass that as he was praying in a certain place, when he ceased, one of his disciples said unto him, Lord, teach us to pray, as John also taught his disciples." Now turn to Philippians chapter number 4 and verse number 6. Our Lord is teaching us to pray. I believe he uses his word to teach us, to give us the instruction that we need. And in these verses, we find different nuggets of prayer that I believe would be helpful. Verse number 6, Philippians chapter 4, verse 6, the Bible says, "Be careful for nothing." Now, I can stop right there and preach all night. You know what that means? That means quit worrying about things. That's right. That's what it means in the Greek. That's what it means in the English. Quit worrying about everything. That's, be careful don't mean... Be careful for nothing does not mean be careless, but it means don't be overtaken, don't be eaten up with worry. Amen. All right, let me read it again. Be careful for nothing. Here's how to be careful for nothing. But in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. Let's go to the Lord in prayer this time. Brother Steve, would you lead us in prayer, please?
Thankful once again to be in God's house.
Lord, we are.
Thank you.
Thank you,
Lord. God, the reading of it. I pray you would bless the preaching hour, Lord. I pray you would grant liberty to the man of God.
Please help us, Lord. Yes.
Preach the precious word of God to our hearts this evening. And you bless the souls of your people tonight. Meet the needs that are there. Thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you for standing. You can be seated. I don't expect my message to be long tonight. I don't feel that way. Of course, that's sometimes dangerous. But I want to primarily deal with Philippians 4, 6, this verse. And I underlined some phrases. Matter of fact, if you got the program this morning and you saw the bulletin this morning, I put this verse in there and had these underlined. That phrase, "in everything by prayer," and then the word "supplication," and then the word "request." I'm preaching tonight on the scope of prayer. Not for you deer hunters, not talking about the scope on top of the gun that shows you the target, although that'll fit. But let me use that just a moment while I'm there. That scope on the gun, I'm not a deer hunter, most of you know that, and I coon hunted some when I was a boy, rabbit hunted some when I was a boy, and squirrel hunted some when I was a boy, but none of those, didn't use a scope on any of those. I mean, you don't have time to put a scope on a rabbit, most of you know that. And I hunted with dogs, as a matter of fact, all of that, the squirrel, rabbit, and coon hunting, we use dogs, and so those animals are on the run when you get a sight of them, but the idea that with that scope, you want to put in focus what you're aiming at. That's what your target is. Well, that's a good way to use this idea about talking about prayer. What does prayer encompass? What is in the scope? What is in the view range of prayer? Paul says everything is. That's what he said in our verse, Philippians 4:6. Everything in by prayer, in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. Now, I've preached, I think, 16 of these prayer secrets on the radio thus far, and I think tomorrow I'll finish up the 16th one, and then I'll begin number 17 on Tuesday, Lord willing. So far here in the pulpit, I've not preached that many. I just preached a few so far. I preached prayer secret number 1, the introduction to prayer. Number 4, the atmosphere of prayer. Number 5, the address of prayer. Number 6, the key of prayer. Number 9, prayer's storehouse. We dealt with the storehouse of prayer. My God shall supply all your need according to His riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Now tonight I want to focus on prayer secret number 10. And that is the scope of prayer. Again, I don't intend on going through every one of these. I just felt like God would have me pick out some and bring those things that might be helpful. But I'll say this right off the bat. We all know or should know that the compass of prayer, what encompasses prayer, is everything, what I just said, every aspect of our life. Everything in our life ought to be something that's worth praying about. Whether it's an activity or whether it's something that we're not just that we're doing, as if it's something we're going through, we're living, all of our life ought to be in the focus or in the scope, in the realm of prayer. Big things as well as little things, amen, ought to be in this scope of prayer. Matter of fact, our scripture says nothing less than everything ought to be in our realm of prayer. You say, well, preacher, I don't know if I ought to bother God with little things. I just bother Him with big things. I'm like one fellow said, well, tell me what would be a big thing to God. Amen. Every problem we've got is just a bunch of little things. Amen. To God, they're big to us, but they're little to God. God can handle them, and I'm glad that He can. Amen. And I'm glad He don't fuss at us when we bring the little things to Him. He doesn't make fun of us. Amen. He's concerned about even these little things that concern us, and I'm grateful that it is. Amen. But I'm saying everything ought to be worth praying about. By the way, if you're about to do something you can't pray about, you probably ought not do it. Amen. If you're about to go somewhere or you are in the process of going somewhere that you can't pray about or you can't pray while you're there, you're probably best off just staying away from the place. Amen. There's some things, if we can't pray about it, we'd just be better off staying away, doing away, not having that any longer in our life. Amen. But it is a blessing and it is comforting that the Scriptures show us that, and this passage teaches us that we don't need to be anxious for things. Amen. We don't have to be eaten up with worry because we can carry it to the Lord in prayer and we can tell Him our troubles. Amen. And we don't have to be anxious about everything if that everything that we was anxious about, we would take and use it as everything in prayer and supplication and request being made known unto God. Amen. So I'm going to look at these three things. Prayers, supplications, and requests. Three different parts of prayer that I believe we can see there. And when we talk about prayer, that's the first thing. Everything by prayer. Excuse me. When we talk about prayer, usually we're talking about the general realm of prayer, not the details, and I'll say more about that as we go on, but we're talking about the different aspects of prayer. Instead of breaking them down in different ones and different parts, usually we're talking about prayer in general. But let me say that prayer ought to be a habit in our life. Amen. You ought to get up in the morning ready to pray. Amen. You ought to go to bed at night with a prayer on your lips. By the way, if you'll begin the day in prayer and end the day in prayer, then you can say the whole day has been given to God in prayer. Amen. And it ought to be our habit. In other words, everything in our day ought to be covered and saturated in prayer. Amen. And that's a good custom for us to have, make it a habit. But not only a habit of prayer, but a rule. It's a rule of life in our life that we carry these things to God. You see, we ought to seek God's blessing on everything we do. I had her play that song this morning. I read you the words, Frances Havergal, as she said, "Take my life and let it be." I mean, she mentions everything, my hands, my feet, my lips, my heart, my silver, my gold, everything. She, my whole life, she said, "I want to give it to you." And she's wanting God's blessing on everything in her life. I'm telling you, that's how we ought to live our life. And when we get up in the morning, it ought to be dedicated to God. Our every step ought to be dedicated to God. We ought to want to walk in a way that others might see Jesus in our life. Amen. And that we can bring glory and honor unto Him. I'll tell you how to do that is by making it a matter of prayer. Whether it's spiritual things or material things. Sometimes we're guilty of thinking we pray primarily about the spiritual things. And we should. But we ought to pray about physical things as well. And we do, by the way. These sicknesses are physical things. Amen. A lot of the problems that are mentioned are physical things that people are going through, and we pray over them. I'm glad God is interested in both spiritual and material things. But also, what about the sacred versus secular things? You ought to pray about your job. Say amen right there. Amen. I don't trust Donald Trump to bring jobs to America. I surely don't trust Hillary Clinton to bring jobs to America. Amen. Brother Steve might get a job having set up a router somewhere. But most of us can't handle that high-tech kind of stuff. Amen. But seriously, I don't expect the politicians to bring jobs to America. Amen. They've not done a very good job of it so far, and I'm not putting all my eggs in their basket. But I'm telling you who I can trust. I can trust the Lord to keep me working and to keep keep things going. You can as well. Amen. Amen. And so we ought to pray about those things, make it a law. And that's prayer in general. Then let me talk about prayer in particular. I believe that's what the word supplication is dealing with there. In verse number 6, again, he says, "Be careful for nothing but in everything by prayer and supplication." Supplication is asking for specific things. Really, it deals with you've got specific needs, specific things that you're interested in praying about. Amen. And I just thought of something. There's a preacher that I know. He's pretty well known. At one time, he got to be pretty popular. He was in evangelism. He's pastoring again now. But he got to be pretty popular, going off preaching a lot, preaching a lot of revivals, even when he was pastoring. And then when he got out of the pastorate, he got called to some of the big meetings, the Rock of Ages meetings, and big kind of meetings that they're having. And he had a message that he preached on prayer. And every point started with a P. His first point was be pacific. He preached it all over the country. Be pacific. Amen. He meant specific. Pacific's the ocean. It says calm. And that's all right. Be calm when you pray. Amen. That'd be all right. Don't be anxious about everything. You can be calm if you pray right. Amen. But I thought about that. This thing about supplication is being specific. It's got certain needs that you're carrying to the Lord and you're asking Him in prayer. Amen. There's a lot of times we don't put a lot of thought into our prayer. We just start throwing things out. And of course, as the Holy Spirit maybe prompts us with those things, we pray about that, and that's good. But it's not wrong to have a petition and have specific things written down. Matter of fact, it might do you good to have yourself a prayer list. Amen. It might do you good to have a prayer list of names and a prayer list of certain needs and have that list down there of things you pray for. Amen. Matter of fact, I encourage you, we just came through a missions conference. Do you good to write down these missionaries' names? Amen. And pray over them instead of just throwing up and say, "Lord, help all the missionaries." That you go down through the list, or maybe God's burdened you about a specific one or a specific group of them, and you can pray for them in special time. Amen. And so this word supplication, it's not the whole thought of prayer, but it's specific things, a specific matter. And when I think about that, I'll say more about it later. But when I think about that, I've got three categories. That first of all, there's the universal sphere. God can handle big prayer requests. He can handle that. Amen. And it is true that prayer is wide in its scope. Amen. It can take in the whole world. That song the children sing, He's got the whole world in His hand. He can control it. He's in control. And we can tell Him the troubles on a worldwide span, and He can handle those. Christians, I said it this morning, we are in the world, we're not of the world, but since we're in the world, we ought to be praying for our world. Amen. Now, I'm not interested in going out and hugging trees. And I'm also not interested in throwing trash out on the side of the road. Amen. I do believe we ought to be good stewards of the planet God's given us, but don't get overly excited about it. It all is going to burn one of these days. Amen. But at the same time, we're in this world, and we ought to be concerned to the fact, for example, that North Korea is spouting out things that they're going to bomb South Korea, and that they're not against maybe using nuclear bombs. And all the time, all this saber rattling and all this talk, you've got Iran, and you've got Russia, you've got China, you've got America, you've got all these different nations that are in this cauldron, and they're heating things up, and it seems like things are pretty bad. Don't be afraid to pray over those things. God can handle them. He's a God of nations. He can handle the nation's problems. Amen. And since we're in this world, I believe it'd be right for us to pray for the world. Amen. And to pray about these things that are happening in the world. And one of the most powerful means at use to a Christian is the means of prayer, that we can tell God our troubles. Amen. And just think, have you ever prayed about international turmoil? You ever prayed about the big problems that are in our world? We talk about them. Sometimes we complain about them. Amen. You've heard me say before, I do believe you ought to go vote. If you don't vote, don't complain. Yeah, I expect to be complaining, so I'm going to go vote. And then complain. Amen. But we could say as well, and probably should say as well, don't complain about it if you ain't prayed about it. Amen. And so we hear about all these problems in the world. When God says everything by prayer and supplication, I think He means He can handle everything. And so it's not wrong for us to carry these international needs unto the Lord. Amen. Matter of fact, go back to history. Brother George was talking about they called the First World War. At the time, they called it the Great War. Many of them called it the War to End All Wars. Buddy, I'll tell you what it did. It started the League of Nations, started the United Nations, and now we're trying to get to one world government more and more. And the more they do that, the more fighting and fussing and complaining there's going to be. And there'll be no peace, real peace, until the Prince of Peace comes. Amen. The Antichrist is going to set up a false peace, but there's going to be things underlying all that because he's a liar and he's of his father, the devil, who was the father of lies. Amen. And so it's going to be a false peace, but I'm telling you, this world's in a mess. But you think about back in World War I and World War II in particular, there's Christians in America that prayed their boys out of harm's way over yonder in Italy, over yonder in France, over yonder in Germany, across the seas, across the world. They opened the doors of the house of God, and they got on their knees in the altars, and they prayed their boys out of harm's way. I believe that. I don't believe the war was won because of American ingenuity. I believe the war was won because of the grace of God. Amen. And God ought to get the glory. But there's mamas and daddies back home praying for those boys overseas. Amen. Literally prayed them out from being killed in a foreign country. Amen. They saw a mighty worldwide scope of prayer. They saw those prayers answered. I believe we could do the same today. Amen. I believe we could do the same today. Surely, we can see the need for just such a prayer life. We see the rise and the spread of radical Islam. We see the ever-present, though hidden, threat of communism. I don't trust that bear. Maybe hibernating, but he's alive and well. Amen. Amen. There's radical Islam, rise of communism. The whole world look like going to pot. You've got atheistic evolutionists running across our world and even our nation. I'll say something about that in a moment. So we ought to pray for our world. That's what I'm saying. We ought to, our accomplishments specifically, we ought to pray for things in the world. Number two, we ought to pray not only on a universal sphere, but on a national sphere. We ought to pray for our nation. Amen. Amen. Mr. Trump is saying, make America great again. I realize that's a slogan. I don't know how he's going to do it. I hope to see it done. America does need to be great again. But he does say this. He said, we're going to put America first. You know who's going to have to start putting America first? We are. It ain't going to start in Washington. It's going to have to start here. I'm talking about individuals. Amen. And I'm not trying to support Trump's platform. That's not my point at all. I'm just simply saying when we pray, surely we ought to pray for Germany. Surely we ought to pray for the problems over there in Greece. And we ought to pray for the problems over there in Korea. But what about our country? It's our country that our children are going to grow up in. It's our country that's going to influence generations down the road. Amen. And we're responsible to pray for them. Amen. Brother George had us sing that song, stand up for Jesus. We need to stand up for America too. Amen. When we and these football players and these stars and athletes that they don't want to salute the flag and they don't want to stand for the national anthem, I think they ought to get out. That's what I believe. Amen. Amen. If they're complaining about our nation, get out and find one that'll suit them. I believe that. Amen. I do. Well, I'm talking about prayer. Yeah. Talk about prayer being practical in its scope. It's universal. It's powerful, but it's also practical in its scope. It can reach out to and touch the life of a nation. The leaders of our nation deserve our prayer. The Bible talks about in Timothy, 1 Timothy chapter number 2. Look there, if you will, verses 1 and 2. Just a few pages over if you're still in Philippians. 1 Timothy chapter 2, verses 1 and 2. Paul said, I exhort therefore that first of all, supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings, and for all that are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. Amen. We ought to pray for our president. We ought to pray for the vice president. We ought to pray for their cabinet and their advisors. We ought to pray for our governor. We ought to pray for those in authority. That's what he's talking about. We ought to lift them up in prayer, especially when we see how much they have that they can affect our people with. Amen. This whole thing about making young girls now available for the draft. It's a sorry nation sends their mamas and their daughters out to fight for them. Amen. It's a sorry man that wants to send their daughters and their mothers out to fight for them. And it's something wrong with a woman that wants to go strap on the boots and the helmet and the M16 or whatever it is and go fight out there. Something wrong somewhere. Amen. Something wrong in the thinking of a nation that, and you know what, but when they do that, I mean, so what? For those that want to do it, that's fine. I say, in a sense, that's all right. If that's what they want to do, that's between them and God. They'll face God with those decisions. But when they say, your daughters and not my daughters and your granddaughters and my granddaughters are going to have to sign up for the draft, there's something wrong with that. Amen. We ought to pray against it. We ought to pray, God, change their mind. God, change their heart. Amen. And God can do that, I do believe. Amen. And we can see God do great and mighty things. I simply say the condition of our nation is certainly one that calls for the urgent need of prayer warriors in our day. We need to enter the prayer closet and bombard the throne of grace like we never have because our nation's in a mess. Amen. When we see the enemy of the souls of men, I'm talking about Satan himself, seem to be pulling the strings of government. On both sides, by the way, the Republicans as bad as the Democrats. Amen. When we see him pulling the strings and he's being so successful in his propaganda, putting out the propaganda and all this stuff, talking about how everything's all right, and they have already had what they call a sexual revolution in America. Now we've got a perversion revolution running across America. Amen. And when men's minds and women's minds are so corrupt that they can't even love children any longer without some kind of pedophilia, amen. God help us, amen. God help us. I don't mean to get off on it, but we need to pray. I'm trying to preach on prayer. If there's ever a time we need to pray, it's now. Amen. Our nation needs prayer. Amen. The people of our nation, the need of our nation, is not primarily one of the need of money, nor the need of political answer, but it's in the spiritual realm. Amen. What our nation needs, listen, we're so many $1 trillion in debt, and we don't even know how to count to a trillion. When I was in school, they didn't even talk about trillions. Amen. We talk about the massive debt that we owe, the money that we owe, and the money that they spend. And I did have a record one time, how many thousands and thousands of dollars that is spent every minute in Congress. Every time the clock ticks a tick, buddy, we go deeper in debt. We talk about that debt, but that's not America's greatest need. Amen. We talk about the threat of radical Islam, the threat of nuclear weapons, the threat of a dirty bomb coming into our nation, and all kinds of different things that are coming in. All these viruses and all the mosquito-borne or bird flown in, all kinds of different problems that's coming from everywhere. You know what's happened? The hedge has been let down from the vineyard of God's land. Amen. God has let the hedge down. You know why? Because sin is so rampant in our country. Amen. It's not a physical problem, it is a spiritual problem. Amen. Amen. How are we going to fix it? It's going to have to be through prayer. It's going to have to be through prayer. Amen. You think about the harm that is dumped upon our nation by the perverts of Hollywood. Amen. The takeover of our education system by the atheists that call themselves evolutionists. Amen. Not speaking about the seeming takeover of our whole federal government by the socialistic, atheistic, radical humanists that are in control of what's going on today. What are we going to do? We need to pray. Proverbs 14:34, still in the Bible. Proverbs 14:34 says, righteousness exalteth a nation, but sin is reproach to any people. Righteousness exalteth the nation, but sin is a reproach to any people. When we pray specifically, we ought to pray for the world, specific nations. We ought to pray for our nation. And then thirdly, we ought to pray in a personal sphere. Prayer is not only wide in its scope. Prayer is not only practical in its scope, but it's intimate. And it can get down to the nitty gritty. It embraces our individual needs. It embraces our individual longings and desires. Amen. And again, let me emphasize that there is no limit to the things that we should be praying about when He said in our Scripture, in everything by prayer and supplication. Amen. We want to pray about those things in our personal life. It's like what the songwriter said, "Oh, what peace we often forfeit, all because we do not carry everything to God in prayer." Amen. Because the fact that we don't pray as we should, a lot of times we don't experience the victory that we could experience. Amen. And then let me say, last of all, I talked about prayer in general, prayer in specific, particular. Now I'm talking about prayer in detail. We've looked at this word prayer, considered it generally. We've looked at the word supplication. I believe it's talking about more particular in scope. Now I want to look at the last word. The word in our text is the word requests. Requests. Sometimes, well, on Wednesday nights, we almost always take, we call it prayer requests. You can name something that means something to you. Nobody else may not think about it. Nobody else may not be interested in it, in one sense. I hope we are, but you understand what I'm saying. But it's your request. Personal. A lot of times, it is something that's very personal. God wants us to bring those to Him in prayer. Amen. I believe it entails the special points of detail about the things we're to pray about. Turn back to Luke chapter number 11, and I'll show you from the text right there. Now, he's talking about in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. Let your requests be made known unto God. Luke 11, our Lord gives us this model of prayer. They've asked Him to teach Him to pray. He gives them this model of prayer, and I'm not going to run back through that again. Gives them the story there, the example of the man that has a friend that has a need. He has another friend that has the means to meet that need. And he's the intercessor. He's the man that goes between. verse number 5, down through verse number 8. But I want to start with verse number 9. Our Lord says this, "And I say unto you, ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh, receiveth. And he that seeketh, findeth. And to him that knocketh, it shall be opened. If a son shall ask bread," that's getting pretty detailed. "If a son shall ask bread of any of you that is a father, will he give him a stone? If he asks fish, will he for a fish give him a serpent? Or if he shall ask for an egg, will he offer him a scorpion?" Now that's my kind of eating right there. Bread and fish and eggs, that's all right. Amen. Bread and meat and eggs. Amen. That's all right. But my point is this. Our Lord mentions these details of prayer. He said, you're asking for bread. Well, he starts out in verse number 9 with the general. Ask, and then it says ask bread. Specifically, details. Ask, you could ask anything. But the boy wants bread. And so he says, ask for bread. Amen. I don't remember if Dad told the story here. I don't believe he did. He told it in North Carolina, I believe, that him and Mom were in need of a typewriter when they first started deputation and started on, trying to get to Kansas to start churches. And as they started deputation, they writing their prayer letters. They didn't have a computer back then. They were using a typewriter, and it was a manual typewriter. And Dad said that as they were working on that, that they got made one prayer letter, and it was a mess. Mom stayed up half the night trying to get it fixed up. They kept having problems with the typewriter and keys getting hung up and one thing and another. And said they just kept having problems with it. So Dad said, he told her, said, "Ann," he said, "you're getting exasperated. I'm getting exasperated. Let's stop. Let's pray and ask God to give us a good typewriter." And Dad said they prayed. And he said, when they got done praying, said, Mom said, and you'd have to know Mom, because she'd do things like this. Mom said, "Plato, if we're going to trust God to give us one, let's ask Him for a specific color so we'll know when it's God that gives it to us." Dad said, "What color do you want?" She said, "Blue." Dad said, "All right." And so they prayed for a blue typewriter, and thank God He's going to give it. Well, Dad had her put in there at the end of the prayer letter. He had her add this statement that said, "As you can tell from this, we're in need of a new typewriter. Help us pray for one." He didn't say anything about the color, no specifics, just help us pray for one. Dad said it's just in a matter of weeks, he went to a preacher over in Lenore, had him over to preach for him. After church, had him over to his house for a meal, and another preacher came. And Dad said that that preacher said, "Plato," said, "I want you and Ann to come in my office." Said, "I got something I want to show you." And said, he went in there, and he said, sitting on his desk was a bright red manual. They didn't know it at the time. It was an antique typewriter. And of course, you'd have to know this preacher. He's a nut anyway. He likes to pull pranks. And so he had that antique one out there. And he said, "You know, I go to auctions and different things." And he said, "I found this and I want to give it to you." And Dad said he could just look at it, and Mom sat there, and they're thinking, "Well, thank you for the thought, but I don't know about this." And said, how do you say, "Well, that ain't what I want"? And so they was trying to be gracious and said, thank you, and was looking at it and said, while he's doing it, this other preacher that had come over eating lunch with him as well, slipped around behind them and said he pulled the cover off, and it wasn't just a typewriter, it was a word processor. And said, he said, "Here's the real one, we got this for you." And said, the first thing Mom turned around and said, "It's blue!" Amen. So they got what they asked for, they got the color they asked for, and they got more than they asked for. Amen. Now, here's why I told you, not to say that my mom and dad's some super special, able to pray specific colors in. Amen. By the way, if you ask for a car and you don't get the color you want, just thank God you got a car. Amen. That's right. That's right. Anyway, I better be careful about some things. You can get so detailed, you detail yourself out of a blessing. Amen. Looking a gift horse in the mouth. Amen. But anyway, My point is this, they ask, and they ask specifically, and really they did it because they wanted to be able to give God praise. They wanted to see God do what they asked Him to do, and to be able to give Him glory and credit when it got done, because they really did believe God was going to get done. Here, this prayer says, when you want something, you can tell God exactly what you want. I need food, Lord. He didn't just say food. He said bread. Ask in general. Ask bread specifically, detailed. But then he goes on detailing it even more. Not just bread. Another time, you don't want bread every meal necessarily. You want something else to go along with the bread. He said ask for fish. Then he said ask for an egg. And so he details. God encourages us to break our prayers up into details. And then last of all, God is interested in those details. He's interested in the little details. The same God that makes the sun get up every morning and shine for you before you get up, probably. The same God that causes the birds to sing, feeds them all every day. The same God that does all that is interested in the little bitty details of our life. And I can show you. Look in Matthew chapter number 10, and I'll be done. Matthew chapter 10, verse number 29. Matthew chapter 10, verse 29. Our Lord makes this statement, and He's trying to show them faith. Verse 29, are not two sparrows sold for a farthing? So two sparrows are not worth very much. And one of them shall not fall to the ground without your Father. God said, you know, birds are not worth much to humans. But God notices every single one. That's what He's saying. Birds are so valueless to humans that they sell two of them for a small price of a farthing. But God's interested in every single one, not just a pair. But look at the next verse. He brings it to us. God's not only interested in the sparrows falling to the ground. He's interested when your hair falls out. Amen. Amen. But the very hairs of your head are all numbered. Amen. Now, He didn't just say God knows about the hair on your head. He said He knows the hairs. Plural. He knows everyone. He knows the minute details. Amen. Here's what I'm saying. Our Lord said when you pray, and Paul, of course, being inspired of the Holy Ghost to say these things, said to us, when you're praying, pray about everything. Quit worrying. Be careful for nothing. Quit worrying about everything. Quit worrying about anything. Carry everything to God in prayer. And when He said that everything, He means even those little bitty details. Amen. When you hear the news, your natural tendency is to worry and fret. God says, don't worry and fret. Pray. Amen. Let's stand to our feet, heads bowed and eyes closed. As we come with a song, get ready, the invitation time, if the Lord spoke to you, again, we want to give you opportunity to do business with the Lord, get the help you need from the Lord. Heavenly Father, Lord, I love You. Thank You for Your blessings so abundantly bestowed upon us. Thank You for Your grace. Lord, what I've preached is, as somebody said, it's easy preaching, a little bit harder to live, because sometimes we do worry about things. Lord, teach us to cast all our cares upon You. Teach us, Lord, to pray about everything. Help us, Lord, to be more concerned. Instead of just complaining about the problems in our world, help us, Lord, to pray about them. Help us to take it to the throne of grace before we take it to the telephone and tell somebody else about it. Lord, help us to make these matters of prayer. Spend time really in prayer. Help us to pray for our nation like we never have. Help us to pray for our loved ones, our own particular situations, our own daily bread, our own personal desires. Help us pray about those things, Lord, and trust You with them. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. While we sing, if the Lord spoke to you and you need to do business with Him, obey the Lord while we sing.